Hey, it's Simon.
And this is Martina.
And we're broadcasting out of Kichijoji, Tokyo, Japan, the driest part of Japan.
I'm surprised you would say that, as it has been raining all week long.
Well, it has been raining everywhere, but this is the driest part of the wet part of Japan, because we're at a good area that's like nicely straight and level.
Boo, what a bad opening to this podcast. Boo, I hate it.
Our last video that we did was on the typhoon, yes. And we have a couple more typhoons coming our way.
Well, according, if you follow me on Instagram on Eat Your Kimchi, I just posted up that typhoon number 21 has been officially formed, which I've been tracking for a bit now.
Right.
And I predict, according to my non-meteorological
I was asking you yesterday for
and
a prediction.
I said to you, too soon.
Tomorrow. Okay.
I think it's going to head northeastern, and it's going to miss Tokyo, but it will possibly graze by more of like the northeastern part of Japan. However, it's going to definitely still bring us rain and stuff, because when you look at the map of the weather radar, it's very saturated in rain no matter what. So there's like this weird stream kind of pulling it. So I don't think it's going to come straight up. I think it's going to go like, it's not going to hit like Tokyo.
You heard it here from Weather Woman Martina.
That's right. It's October
23rd. Yes. It's October 23rd.
And then it ends up hitting Tokyo directly, and I'm like, get sued? No, I already said that I'm a YouTuber, not a meteorologist.
I feel so icky holding a phone out as I'm trying to have a talk. I'm not a person that usually has her phone out.
Oh, he's going to read a question.
Because I'm here to read a question. Then I could put this down and then have a normal conversation with you again.
You know that nobody listening to the podcast could see that you had a phone in your hand.
Some people are watching the video.
I know they are. So, people who watch the video get to see extra stupid things.
So we had a really good question that someone sent in. Like, a few people sent in a few good questions.
Yeah, we started to screenshot your stuff so we can remember them with our old age.
This one came via email, but we have some saved via Twitter and Instagram as well. So wherever you want to
read
leave
it,
them.
Boy.
This one is from Kristen, and it says, I'd love for you to do a podcast video about playfulness in adulthood. I think one of the hardest parts about growing up is and leaving high school is that the people around you start to become very serious.
Boring.
I found it really difficult to connect with people in college because my personality is very silly and fun-loving. I face a lot of rejection, and over time, I've become rather reserved. I'd love to hear your tips on how to be playful in adulthood without coming off as weird in a bad way and pushing people away. I think if I could approach my change, if I could change my approach somehow, maybe there's things I could do to help other people connect with their playful side so that I could be myself. Now, this is something that you and I have discussed quite a bit with each other, our ideas of playfulness. Like, we're both very playful people. We're playful in different ways, though.
Yeah, we've definitely come about this differently. Like, when we first, I was telling Simon, like, when he read this email to me, which I really enjoyed, I told him when we first met, it's not like when you saw Simon at first, you would ever think that he is a nerdy, playful person.
No.
You know, first thing first that we discussed was simply that as YouTubers, you guys have had the chance to confirm things right away that we like. Like, if I wear a Loki shirt as I'm...
Here you are in your Loki shirt.
My Loki shirt, which I got from a fan.
Right.
I can wear a shirt like this, or I can joke about it and have other people instantly say to me, I also like Loki. So we don't want to talk about it from a perspective of currently where we're being like so accepted by this community
of
people.
Well, because I think the thing that makes us a little bit different, like, I think some people will hear this talk and be like, it's different for you two because, like, Simon and Martina, you guys are YouTubers.
We can dye our hair now.
You don't have to work at a job. You don't have to have this career. So you don't have the same consequences that other people have, which I agree with.
Yeah.
Like, we can do some things with our style, with our looks, with our playfulness. And in our videos, we will get some people that really like that and are like, these are like the people that we're drawn to. And we'll also get in our videos lots of people that don't like it. Lots of insults that we read in the comments that like don't make it through, because fortunately we have good moderators that
hide
these things. But you know, like, one of the things that we've accepted is that we can't be liked by
everybody.
That's impossible. So you want to be liked by people that you like. And I think the best way that you can be liked by people that you like is be the kind of person that you want to be.
You know what I'm going to say?
What?
Be yourself.
Right.
Be yourself. My snow globe collection. And okay, so I know this sounds cheesy because the point is that as a YouTuber, it's easy for us to wear clothing a certain way, dress a certain way. But we're going to talk about as well pre-YouTube. Like when we were teaching, I had to take out my librette. Like I had a lip ring librette that I used to play with all that I loved.
Right.
I had it for like 8 or 9 years.
You did, yeah.
My hair, I had to change it back to normal colors. We couldn't get tattoos.
Right.
Like, I had tattoos already. So there were limitations. And
like when I was a teacher, I had to dress like semi-professionally. I still had to find some way to inject my own personality within that and not lose myself within it. So we've never been really people that have like thrown away all conventions and all guides. Like, we still like have some rules that we try to adhere to, but we try to inject our own flavors into it, so it doesn't seem as if it's too off-putting. I didn't go to teach, I don't know, in a Speedo, right?
Why would you give that as because an example? That'd be Why would weird, a YouTuber go right? even teach something in a
no,
Speedo?
No, but when I was a teacher, right? Like, I still understood that there were, like some rules that, yeah, I dressed yeah. very nerdy.
Well, okay, you know? So what I want to talk about more so is, like, ways that we've been able to inject personality, because she's saying, like, you know, how can I connect more with people, this kind of thing. So one of the things I would say is that you were a really preppy dresser when I met you.
Mm-hmm.
Very preppy.
Mm-hmm.
Like button-down shirts and not golf shirts, but you didn't really cut loose with like colors and stuff. Like you were into brown and blue.
I had my pattern. Brown and blue, I thought worked really well for me.
Okay. So now I want to explain to you why this was interesting and like a little bit more quirky, because mm-hmm. as I got to know Simon better, I noticed that he would always wear either chocolate brown or like this, actually the colors of our couch, or like a blue, like a very, very, yeah. very blue. Mm-hmm. Not this kind of a blue, mm-mm. not a baby blue, spudgy blue.
Spudgy
like
blue,
spudgy
yeah.
blue stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And so slowly I started to realize, wow, this guy has like so many different colored shirts or ties or bow ties or like little details that mm-hmm. are brown and blue.
Yeah.
So I found that creative and quirky as is. It mm-hmm. may not have been like over the top, like when I wear ginormous sushi earrings mm-hmm. or cotton candy earrings, or I have rings on shaped like cherries, but it was still a way to say that this person was being thoughtful,
right?
So in a professional setting, things like if you have to wear something that's a certain wear, like you mm-hmm. have a uniform of some kind,
mm-hmm.
if you can wear earrings, for example, mm-hmm. or if you're a guy and you can wear mm-hmm. different kinds of shoes or socks or anything, mm-hmm. you can kind of inject your detail in there, like funky
those
socks.
Those are the details that I really like in conversation with mm-hmm. you when we're preparing for a serious shoot,
mm-hmm.
like you'll have like a nice dress on, like something more formal and less low-key mm-hmm. Patterned.
Less low-key? Right. I thought you were saying low-key. I'm like, what do you mean low-key? I'm like, low-key.
But like if we're going to a nice restaurant, then like you will like dress formally, but you'll always be like, okay, what earrings can I have with this? Should yeah. I have the watermelon ones or should I have the cherry ones? And
like I'm
those are
the
your ways. Those are your ways of still like playing within the rules mm-hmm, mm-hmm. that don't really offer a lot of playfulness, but still being like, okay, but I can put playfulness in at this part. So I think our first
playing within
step
the
was,
rules was a nice way to
yeah,
say it.
Yeah, play within the rules. Don't be like, don't blatantly disregard them mm-hmm. all the time. So that's what we do in professional mm-hmm. settings.
So like, for example, you know, like as a teacher, if I had to wear a certain type of clothing, I couldn't get away with wearing, let's say, a patterned print of like Sailor Moon. Mm-hmm. Like it would be inappropriate for me to wear that to school as mm-hmm. a teacher, mm-hmm. right? But you could have Luna earrings.
Yeah.
You could paint your nails maybe like a purple sparkle instead of
your
a
normal
color.
Bag could
color.
Be like something Sailor Moon
yeah,
related.
You can have you know? A keychain on it. Like there yeah. are little things that you can do. And even when I was in high school, like yeah. I had a uniform in high school.
Mm-hmm.
You had a uniform in high school?
I did as well.
Yeah. You know, if you've had a uniform growing up, there's usually strict rules about like where you're buying them from and how they look. But mm-hmm. there's always a way that teenagers can tell each other apart.
Yeah.
Always. From the way that you cut your hair.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can have a professional haircut, let's say, mm-hmm. but you could have like a really blunt bob mm-hmm. with like a side bang.
Mm-hmm.
That's a statement in its own. Like particular things that you do can be statements without you getting in trouble for not wearing the
I've
appropriate.
I've seen that in Japan as well. Like mm. something similar, like when it comes to salarymen who mostly just wear like black or like dark blue suits.
Yeah.
I've
white
seen,
button-down shirts yeah. and black sweater shirts.
And like similar like dyed hair. Like not a lot of people are like going to work with blue hair, mm. right? Like everyone has like similar styles
yeah. in
hair.
Japan, you can't really yeah. dye your hair and be... You can't dye your hair and be accepted out of business position. Right. Like everyone has just plain black or dark brown hair.
But so even though like that uniform is very rigid, I've seen examples of people like having different nail polish, like salarymen having black nail polish,
mm.
for example. And that's a little way of them still trying to infuse their personality and their playfulness and their joy mm. in rigid situations. So I think to get around to the point that we were saying that, like even though you and I don't have as many rigid situations with this artistic career of
mm-hmm,
ours,
mm-hmm.
that doesn't mean that only we can be mm-hmm. playful.
Oh, rice cooker.
What? What?
Beep, 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 doo doo.
That was purely accidental. That was just the sound of our rice cooker. Mm-hmm. It makes as soon as it's done.
I don't know
done.
If anyone can hear it, but
no,
we
I definitely picked
it
up.
Yeah,
I definitely
too,
picked
yeah.
it up on here.
Yeah.
And so, like, that might be the next step, I think, in terms of playfulness, not just in terms of fashion,
mm-hmm.
but just in terms of your, like, attitude mm-hmm. towards life.
Well, so let's take the next category then. So, let's say you don't have a job where you have to rigidly dress a certain way or adhere to certain rules. Like, if you don't have to, she was mm-hmm. mentioning, like, how do you not come across as, like, a weirdo or a strange person or uh-huh. whatever. And frankly, I don't know the answer to that.
I don't know.
Because
yeah.
I don't really like or believe in tamping down your personality or the way that you are, I find it very crushing and mm-hmm. very detrimental to my well-being, at least, to try to be a certain way. And I've tried it before. Mm-hmm. Like, I've tried being at events and being like, I'm going to be not as weird and quirky. And I can't. It just bumbles out. Like, mm-hmm. I'll be sitting there and I'll be talking to this person very seriously. And then I'm like, did you ever notice sometimes that when the rain clouds form certain patterns, it looks like it's mashed potatoes in the sky? And then I'm like, I've said too much. Uh-huh. Like, I can't hold it in. And then I find it
squeaks out. And
you
shouldn't have to hold it in.
Right, you shouldn't have to. But I think that what you can do is assess if the person is engaging with what you're saying uh-huh. and how far you should go. So, right. for example, if I bring something up, like I go, I'm really into, someone comments my tattoo. Mm-hmm. Very common. I'm at an event. Someone's like, oh, I really like your tattoo. And I go, oh, yeah. And I pull up the sleeve and I show them Wolverine. Uh-huh. Then I start nerding out a bit about Wolverine. If I see them kind of glaze over, then I realize that I need to kind of rein back.
You could read their body language.
Now I'm talking at them and they haven't really been like, oh, I'm into comics too. Yeah. So sometimes I might say like, oh, do you ever read comics or graphic novels? If they're like, no, not really. Mm-hmm. Then I go, okay, so no matter how much I talk about animation or comics or anime, manga, whatever, they're not going to connect. Mm-hmm. So then you try to shift over and go, oh, do you read books? Do you watch TV, Netflix? I don't want them to feel ashamed for whatever choice they're doing.
Right.
Like, I don't want to come across as judgy, like, oh, do you read books? No, that's not what I mean. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to figure out what they like. And then they might say, I'm really into Netflix, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, have you gotten into, you know, do you watch dramas, movies? Are you more into? Mm-hmm. And then slowly you can kind of shave away and figure out what that person's interested in. Sometimes they're as quirky and as strange as you and they like the same things. Mm-hmm. And then you can really ride that out, right?
But there are some times that people might not be interested in you. They might not like the weird hairstyle that you have. They might not like the quirkiness. Mm-hmm. And this is where, like, a line that I've always said, there's a very thin line between confidence and indifference. And both of them present themselves in the same way. Mm-hmm. Like, whenever, like, I go out in, like, I have a pink hat, I have pink shoes, I have pink shorts. I think that color looks good on me and I like it. Some people won't like it and I don't care if they don't like it, because nothing bad is going to happen if another person doesn't like what I have, because there are other people that will like it, other people that will find it interesting. So I never feel that kind of like, ah, darn, this person doesn't like me because I've expressed who I am. If they don't like me, then that's their loss, because I think I'm pretty cool. And I think I'm comfortable with who I am and I hope that the circle that I'm around, the people that I hang out with enjoy me for who I am also. And that's the way that I'm going to try to keep on having my playfulness about me, because I feel like losing that is going to be so painful.
Yeah.
You know,
I think that, like, we got a comment once on our Eat Your Sushi video and we addressed it within the video. I think it really got my hackles up when it happened. Someone had commented on when I got my Sailor Moon nails done.
Yeah.
And they were saying that, like, you know,
I remember that one.
I think we discussed it.
I was going to bring up something similar to that. Yeah.
So when I had just arrived in Japan for the first time, I had first met my nail artist, which, by the way, I'm going to finally do a video with her.
Right.
I'm just waiting for my nails to
heal
up a bit because, like, I put them through some intense long, they kind of crack. I hurt them a lot. So anyhow, so she got my Sailor Moon nails done. It was bucket list for me. It was incredible. What is happening?
We need a soundproof booth.
This is Kichijoji.
All right. None of the speeding here, hooligans.
We actually left the door open. That's why we heard it. The window's open behind us. It's quite quiet, actually.
I had to burp. Okay. You were saying.
Okay, so basically people were commenting. One person said, you know, you're past your 30s now, like, it's ridiculous and childish that you're dyeing your hair pink and wearing Sailor Moon nails and this and that. And that's where my hackles went up, because to me, I do not believe that there is a line that says that it's acceptable to like to color and then once you hit grade 8 coloring's out. That's to me selling out of who you are. If you've always liked coloring as a kid and then you get older and you like coloring and you can sit down and color at a table, like, we went to Denny's in Korea, in Japan,
right,
and they had a kid's coloring set, and I'm like, heck yes. And like, I borrowed it, of course, and I colored. And people might think, oh, that's really weird. Why is it weird? There's adult coloring books that are now out there. Oh, it's only for children. What's only for children? You're telling the kids to not be distracted, to be quiet, to shut up so they can color. Well, I like coloring too, you know?
Right.
What's wrong with coloring? And like, so I don't want to be friends with people who might say something like, this is embarrassing, or I don't like the way people are thinking about me right now.
Then, and for real,
why would I want to be friends with
the
them?
The kind of people that say that kind of things aren't who you want to hang out with.
They're not that cool.
Like, whoever, like, is like, oh, you look weird for this, or you look super for that, or you look like a kid for doing this, or why don't you grow up? Like, do you want that person as a friend?
So,
like,
judgy.
What a shitty friend. Like, find someone that's better. That person probably has whatever is bothering them in their lives, and like, you don't have to take that in on yourself.
Hang on, on the similar page, I just want to say here, if you don't like coloring, Like, if you think that, like, I go out to Denny's and coloring on a kid's sheet is, like, not your jam, that's also okay.
I don't color when I'm at Denny's.
Right. Simon's like, not my thing.
Not my thing.
But the point is to not have that second judgment part. Like, when the person says, like, you need to stop doing this or you need to grow up, that's when I'm like, you need to be a little bit more confident in what you like and stop judging me for what I like. That's what I mean, you know?
I think that, like, there is a part of the question that Kayla asked about, like, seriousness that people have. And I totally understand that it is very easy when you get more into adulthood and independence, bills,
taxes,
changing of health, like aging, right? These are all things that are like
people having, with kids,
having kids, like all of these things are huge, heavy stressors. And it might be very difficult for you to be in tune with yourself and the things that you like and your passions as much when you're thinking about like, how am I going to make this next payment? How am I going to finish this project? How am I going to like bring my kid to practice at the same time? I think a lot of people have so many things going on in their heads at once that they don't spend enough time to think about, hey, what are the things I could do that are like fulfilling for me? Like guilt-free kind of thoughts about themselves.
I think one of my favorite phrases was that sparks joy commentary. Yeah. You know, the idea of sparking joy, if you've that whole Maria Comey, what's
Maria Kondo.
Yeah, the whole Maria, all right, Kondo, like a condo.
Yeah.
Like, I've got an apartment and I've got a condo.
Yep.
That whole talk that she had about sparking joy and keeping things and throwing them out. Mm-hmm. I think that the sparking joy concept is something that people need to keep around them in general.
Yeah.
You know, I remember being out with Jackie, like my best friend, when we were in Korea, and she saw these like crazy socks and these crazy earrings. And I'm like, she's like, oh my God. And she was drawn to them immediately. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, they're like, get them. It's Hongdae. Like things are really well priced and everything. Yeah, and she's like, well, it's a little bit silly. Like people may not, you know, like, why are you wearing these socks or these earrings? And to me, I'm like, oh no, 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 no.
No, Jackie, no.
If it's something to do with a uniform, like you cannot wear it because it's banned, like it needs to be solid colors, okay. But the minute you start thinking about what if people think that I'm blank, that's when you need to say, hey, what's sparking joy in your life?
Yeah.
If you've got secret turtle socks on and that sparks joy for you, then let that spark that joy. If you want to wear an owl ring or you want to go do something nerdy, like wait in line to see a movie by yourself that no one will see with you, then you do that.
Right.
And you can make friends with people that are around you. Like even when we did our fan meets, we had tons of nasties that said that they waited in line. They went alone.
Yeah.
And they just made friends.
Sure.
You know?
And you meet cool people that way. I feel like it really will be tough for you if you try to live your life and think, well, what will people think if I do this thing that I like? That's a really tough challenge.
Yeah.
If you want to be able to express yourself, if you find something that has meaning to you and you're like, I'm worried that somebody won't like me for this, then that's a heavy cross to bear. It's a lot easier for you, I think, in life. And just make your life easier. Do the things that you will truly find that like inspire you, little bits of sparks of joy and a little bit of passion. And that'll be a lot easier for you and a lot more fulfilling than worrying about what you should do because somebody else might dislike you for them.
Now the asterisk,
we've been doing it for like a decade now. It works. Try, tested, and true. Okay.
Well, the asterisk that I'm going to add to this that I'm going to say is you will have a smaller and narrower pool of people to choose from. So the reason why I believe that people conform and become comfortable with like pop culture and pop norms, nothing against this. Like I love Justin Bieber. I'm a big Drake fan. Like, and I also like weird bands that make strange noises. I think the easier road is to like the things that everyone likes, because then if you go to a bar and you say, how about them? And you name the name of the team in the area, everyone's like, woohoo. And then you kind of start conversation.
Sure.
But I'm saying that in taking that route, if you are patting down those sparks of joy, that's what's going to eat away at you.
Right.
So I'm trying to say that like, if you're comfortable with all the normal things, the most average things, and you will make more friends and you will be okay with it.
You don't have to push yourself away from things that people commonly like in order to push yourself to be more weird. Don't force weirdness because you're trying to be something.
Yeah.
Just like, do the things that you like. And if you don't like, don't be like, I got to do this because this is like a cool way for me to show that I'm different.
Yeah.
You know?
And the last thing I'll say, because we'll be running out of time here.
We are, yes.
For people that are trying to make friends for the first time, that are meeting people who are similar, you're going to have to put yourself in the scenario of meeting people. For example, go to trivia night at a local bar.
Yeah.
Look up a bar. See if there's like a nerd night where they do quizzes, where they do board games. It may not be frequent. It might be once a month or once every 2 months. But in going there, you're immediately putting yourself into a pool of people that are saying, we like fantasy novels.
Right.
Or, you know, we like nerdy stuff about The Simpsons. Like you're finding more niche people.
You have to proactively find ways to build a community of people around the topics that you like. Not just like working and going home.
And hoping that you're going to hit someone and that happens to be similar to you.
You can't hope to bump into somebody at a grocery store when everyone's just trying to pick up their stuff. Like, you have to actively take that time out of your week, out of your month, to be able to go and pursue your hobbies and find like-minded people.
Yeah, and that's what I was trying to say by that we're a narrower slice of pie. Mm-hmm. Like, it's harder to find someone who's into quirkier things, but when you find them, the reward of like the friendship between them is much better.
Sure.
That's what I think, at least.
I agree with
you. That's my story.
So that's our, it was a little bit of a serious talk about playfulness because we take playfulness seriously.
That's right.
All right.
Like, I get mugs that I like and I put the things up in the house and I collect the comics that I like. And then other times, you know, we're not nerdy.
So keep on being true to yourself. That's what we've always tried to do on this YouTube channel. That's the thing that, like, I think that's one of our biggest messages. Like, we won't advertise like clients that we don't want to do. We won't do videos about stuff we won't want to do. Like, if we don't like K-pop anymore, we're not going to do K-pop videos. We want to keep on pursuing the things that spark joy in our lives, that bring us interest, that make our eyes open up so much more.
Like, and I know that Onigiri video is not going to go up in the top searches of YouTube. No. Like, people aren't like, Onigiri. Like, they don't even know what that word is. But, of course. I love Onigiri.
But we could have done something a lot more trendy instead that most people want to do, but that wouldn't be what sparks us joy. Yeah. We love that Onigiri video. We love these weird abstract videos that we're going to keep sending your way, and we're going to keep on trying to push the things we like. And I hope that we can inspire you to do the same.
In the comment section below, I would love to hear a little bit from you guys about, you know, maybe the area you're in, how you've met your quirky friends. If you're struggling to meet people, you know, like, maybe you can kind of connect in the comments, like, oh, I'm from Kentucky and there's nothing nearby. And someone might say, oh, there's this club you should join. Like, there's a lot of nasties that are doing things like forming Korea Day or Japan Day.
I know. There's a US nasties group on Facebook. Like, a lot of people are like-minded and they've been able to meet each other online and form these kinds of communities.
Not related necessarily to us. They know us, but they meet at a Korean restaurant and then they talk about like Korean stuff or Korean drama, or they meet at a Japanese restaurant. So like, you can find this. You just gotta like push at it, you know?
There you go.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. This is our first one in like 2 months or so.
I know.
We've had an insane month.
We're so busy and I'm so tired. I've had 2 shutdowns this month.
I know. We've been pushing every single day, even like we gotta go today for like more stuff. So.
And I just found out that like my wrist has not healed very much at all. I went in to get like ultrasounds done on my wrist again and they're like, wow, it looks nearly the same, but like the inflammation's going down a bit. But
and now
like,
the government wants to deny you physiotherapy. Hey, Americans, you don't know what that's like, trying to get a procedure, not having it covered.
Because they're like, oh, Ehlers-Danlos syndrome is not like a recognized real condition yet, which is what the EDS Society is like fighting for because of situations like
recognition
this.
Recognition like, and understanding.
Because you fall into like a category where they can't stamp it or write it down and it, on a piece of paper. And then it's like, oh, well, you can't do this much physio unless you need it. And it's like, but I do. And they're like, but why? And you're
Well, in the midst of all those ahs, we're going to keep on trying to find things that spark joy in our lives and keep on making us playful. I'm about to finally open up my feeding window. I'm doing intermittent fasting and it's
my
2 p.m.
My feeding window.
I can eat from 2 to 10 p.m. Moo moo. It's time for me to eat. Peace out, everybody. Thank you for watching my YouTube videos.
Hope you guys like our upcoming Kyoto video. It's going to be
amazing. That's going to be so nice.
Oh, and we're going to Disneyland and DisneySea for Halloween.